stand.
Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. Where may I be like you? You are the potter.
Jesus, you
I come to die? When I come to die, when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, yes, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. One more time, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me. Preacher to come and open the service in a word of prayer. I want to welcome each of you to the service tonight. We've got quite a few folks that are missing. Some of those that are traveling. We want to remember the Clayvilles that are away this weekend. We want to remember the Irishes that are going to be leaving on Friday for away for vacations. We want to remember them in prayer. We want to continue to remember our sister Rosie, is home but not still not doing very well, so we want to continue to remember her in prayer. If you have any other unspoken prayer requests, Brother Ben, if you want to come. Amen.
prayer requests, Lord, the ones that are sick, Lord, need a touch from you. Lord, I pray that you just be with our pastor, Lord, as he travels. Keep him safe on the road. Lord, I pray that you just be with the minister tonight, Lord. You know what we need, Lord. You know exactly what each and every one of us need. And we know that you can speak through him, Lord, to our hearts. We pray that you just be with us once again, Lord. In your wonderful name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ben. Turn and shake hands with those that are around you. And welcome them to the service. We're going to sing that song, "I'll Fly Away." Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away. Aren't you looking forward to that? Amen. Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Now when the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. And like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. Sister Sarah Basaki, I think, and Brother Keith and Sister Ashley to come and sing for us at this time. And as they're coming, I've been asked to announce not once but twice tonight that I've gotten this. So obviously it's very important to remember Sister Julia Clayville's baby shower coming up next Saturday, June 17th, and it's at Brother Wayne and Sister Faye's house. The address might be wrong, but the place is correct. So it's at Brother Wayne and Sister Faye's coffee's house. And that's from 11:30 till 1:30. So you get to go home at 1:35. Other thing to remember is on June 24th at 5 o'clock at the Buchanan's is Young People's Meeting. And there is a sign-up sheet, from what I understand, in the library. So please sign up so they know how much food to bring. Amen. To come forth this time as we get ready to change the order of the service. Brother Jeff, if you could ask the blessing on the offering. Sing that song, I Feel the Pull, as Brother Matt comes and joins us. Amen. Amen. I enjoyed that this morning. Amen. It feels like at times our lives can be in that cycle, historical cycle, where it just go to work, come home, go to work, come home. I really enjoyed that this morning of changing our focus a little bit. Amen. Amen. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry, and my mind just wills to know exactly why. Well, I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull, and I feel the pull. I hear the call, and I know His fear.
To the word. Praise the Lord. Glad that we feel that pull tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we trust that the word has been a blessing to you. Amen. And that something was said this morning that was could encourage you in your life and where you're at. And we just want to be a blessing. Certainly, I want to say again, it's been a privilege to be here. Amen. And just enjoyed our fellowship today. Amen. Brother Stephen was at our church speaking when I was not there. And it would have never passed me by because I heard from about 20 different people how good it was. My phone started getting bombed. Who is Stephen Coffey? Brother Barry had a son who preached. So he did a fantastic job. And appreciate all. Amen. I'm friends with all of Brother Barry's sons. And they just all have even never even got to know Brother Luke until we went over to Tanzania. And just enjoyed his fellowship also. So you got a good pastor, good family. Amen. Don't you just love the family of God? Amen. There's no family like the family of God. Amen. And no matter where you travel, you find that to be true. No matter what language or what country you're in or what language they speak, there's just a family feeling. You just feel you have something in common. Amen. I believe that's the way it should be. Amen. Even the Bible speaks of the Acts church that they had all things in common. Amen. Everything they had in common. Even within their social classes, yet there was still a commonality amongst the believer. Amen. Well, we just want to speak to again this evening. Amen. Something the Lord's placed upon our heart and just trust that it'll be a blessing to you. We want to look at chapter 47 of Ezekiel. Amen. This scripture here has a very direct application, and I'm just going to pull away from its direct application, knowing that if you read this chapter, it's speaking to the Jews and a promise to the Jews and also to the Gentiles of the Messiah. But we would like to just look at it in a different way, knowing the scripture has compound meaning, and just want to bring a thought out of this. I spoke this morning on the unstoppable purpose, and we would like to speak tonight on the unstoppable promise. The unstoppable promise. Verse 1, afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father, tonight in need, Lord, one more time, Lord, for this evening service, for your strength. God, I pray that you would just come and break the bread of life to us tonight, Lord Jesus. We just stand, Father, and Lord, total, Lord, insufficiency to, Lord, to even come close to accomplishing the task and the goal tonight. For Lord, the goal is not to speak, Lord, eloquent words, or as Paul said, in man's wisdom, Father, but the goal tonight is for the demonstration of the power of the gospel, Lord, to be shed abroad into the souls of these people. Lord, for words is to the ear, Lord, is not what we've came to hear tonight, but we've came for that sword that divides asunder both body, soul, and spirit, to come, Lord, and pierce to the very soul of these individuals that are here tonight. So, Lord, we'll need your help for that. Father, but you've given us your word, Lord, and we're here to speak it to these people. Lord, may you just bless us, Lord, in our gathering together. Bless Brother Barry, Father, wherever he's at today, Lord. Keep him safe on his return. Lord, we ask. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Just would turn this on here. prophet of God says in early spiritual experiences, I believe that God in the Garden of Eden, before the Garden of Eden, I believe that God knew the end from the beginning. I believe that. And that everything in the great clock, everything in the great clock, everything in the great picture is just moving in and nothing can stop it. This quote really sums up our sermon this morning. That even from the very beginning, long before the problem, God already had the remedy. And the prophet says, I believe that everything in the great clock. So he's speaking of everything that would happen in time, everything that would happen in God's great clock, in God's great picture, in God's great drama. Long before it ever started, God already had a plan. And the prophet says, and I believe that it's just moving. The clock is moving exactly as God intended for it to move. Brother and sister, history is not moving faster than God wants it to move. It's not moving slower than God wants it to move. It's moving on time and in rhythm with the Creator who created the plan. And so Brother Branham says he's just moving in and nothing can stop it. It's just going to be just exactly according to what God said it would be. And he's obligated to his word. God has to keep his word. Did you know that? He has sworn by himself that he'd keep his word. He just has to do it to be God. He can't take back on his word and be God. So if you're going to go somewhere, that's right. He says, if you're going, so if you'd ever get that settled in this man here and in this man here. So from here to here. The prophet says, if you could ever get that settled in this man here and this man here, you're going to go somewhere. That's right. If you can ever get it cleared up, when you could get it cleared up, God's word is spoken. And you here say it's right. Now, most of you get that. Now, let that drop down here tonight. What's Brother Branham saying? He's saying you've actually got to just not mentally know it. It's got to move beyond your mental faculty and move into your soul, into your heart, to where it becomes a revelation. You say, a revelation of what? A revelation that you're part of God's unstoppable plan. A revelation that God has an unstoppable plan and an unstoppable promise, and you're part of it. And there's nothing can stop it. And when I say nothing, I include myself. I include my faults. I include my failures and my insufficiencies and shortcomings and all of my ways that I've tried to stop the plan of God in my life. And many times I've bucked against it. I've went the opposite way. Yet I find myself here tonight, not by my own merit or ability, because if God would have allowed me to continue, I would have been messed up, took the wrong road down a detour, a dead-end street. But God, who is rich in mercy, though the many times I went the wrong way, He picked me up, turned me around, and put my feet back on the straight path. And I'm thankful to God that tonight I am a beneficiary of the great Creator having autonomy and control over Brother Matt. Are you glad for that tonight? That you can say, thank God that God is the one in control. Prophet says, if you can ever get that in your mind, if you could ever drop from here to here, he says, oh, then you're going somewhere. Let it drop down here, he says, tonight, and let this down here say it's right. Then I don't care what says anything different. It'll never change your course. You're going on out. Nothing can stop it. You're headed into the deep sea. Oh, when I read this quote, I said, Lord, let me go into the deep sea. Let me take me into deep waters, oh God. Give me to the place in my life that nothing can stop the plan and purpose of God for my life. This is exactly where the prophet of God says, and notice this, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. It's just the hour. There's nothing can stop it. And if you type this in your query into the message, you will see this quote, this come up, nothing can stop it. There are certain things that are good and there are certain things that are bad that are unstoppable. That no matter what man's effort can try to do, they won't be stopped. Can you say amen tonight?
Ezekiel says this here in the Scripture, and if you'll just hold your Bible open to Ezekiel chapter 47, we're going to preach from this here just for the first part of this. He says, "Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, water issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar." So where does the water that he's speaking of come from? It originates at a certain place, and ultimately it has a destination. But where it originates from is from the throne of God. In fact, if you study this Scripture, he's actually speaking of what we spoke of today. This is actually the temple of God. And this water's coming from the inner veil. It's coming from the holy place. And he says the waters come from the holy place. It's a reference to the holy place in the temple that we spoke of today, where the ark was, where God's presence dwelt. The waters that Ezekiel is talking about comes from the throne of God. And he says that the waters came down under the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. So the water begins at the throne, and afterwards it flowed through the altar. And what does the altar speak of, my brother and my sister? The altar speaks of sacrifice. It's what the altar spoke of in the temple. It's what the altar spoke of anytime there was a sacrifice. The altar's purpose was for sacrifice. And so the sacrifice ultimately foreshadowed the greatest sacrifice. It was foreshadowing the cross. And Ezekiel says the water flowed from sacrifice. They came through the cross. Oh, brother, what does that tell me? That tells me, you know, Dasani's good water. Aquafina may be better. I don't know. Smart water's good water. But let me tell you, this water that Ezekiel's talking of is pure water. It's not toxic water. It flowed through Calvary. It flows through sacrifice. It flows from under the altar. And Jesus said, if a man drinks from this water, he'll never thirst again. It'll quench the thirst for the world. It'll quench the thirst for alcohol. It'll quench his thirst for lust. It'll quench his thirst for himself. This water will be a thirst quencher to the believer. It'll be a thirst quencher. And the only thing you'll ever desire is this purified, holy, sanctified water. I want to say, Lord, that's the kind of water I want to drink from. I'm tired of drinking from the stagnant well of the world, and it leaves me more thirsty than from the first time I took a drink. That's the thing about sin. It leaves you more empty than before you got into it. Leaves you more thirsty. It's like drinking lemonade. It tastes really good while you're drinking it, but you're just more thirsty after the first sip, and then you drink some more, and you're more thirsty and more thirsty. But Jesus says this water is a thirst quencher. It'll quench the soul. It'll purify the mind. It'll purify the heart. Oh, I want to say, Lord, give me a drink of this holy water that comes from beyond the throne through the altar of sacrifice. Oh, and notice he says, then he brought me out of the way of the gate northward and led me about the way without unto the utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, the waters ran out on the right side. So what do you notice about these waters? They're not contained. Because contained water gets stagnant. It gets stale. And Ezekiel says this water of God is a moving. It has a progression. The waters made their way eastward on a continual flow. It's a continual moving. It's speaking of the Spirit of God. It's speaking of the Word of God. The Word of God didn't just come to be stagnant and to be stale and lay on a paper, because on a paper it just is stagnant history. But once the water comes into the life of the believer, God doesn't just save you so you can say, I'm saved, I'm born again. But there's got to be a continual moving. There's got to be a continual flow. You've got to stay unrestricted. Oh, can I get an amen here tonight? You've got to stay unstagnant. You've got to have your waters moving at all times. Oh, the Spirit of God didn't just come on the day of Pentecost to fill the 12 apostles or for the multitudes. But God's entire purpose, His entire plan was for that water to move through seven church ages and never stop moving. And my brother, it's still moving tonight. We don't have a dead letter or a history book or a quote book of a prophet and just pictures and testimonies and stories. But He's a real living water. It's a water that continues to move through the church. Notice he says as Ezekiel gazes upon the river, notice the growth as it gets bigger and bigger. It started out as a stream from under the altar and it moves under the threshold of the temple door and it becomes a raging river as it flows. The growth of the river of the river gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, it's sort of like when you got saved. It might have just been when you became born again. You know, it maybe started as just a little trickle. It's just a little bitty, tiny stream. When you sat on the front row of church when I was 7 years old, listening to the preaching of the Word, you know what, brothers and sisters and moms and dads, don't ever underestimate the power of your child just being in church under the preaching of the Word of God. Mothers and fathers, don't ever underestimate just your child being in a Sunday school under a Sunday school teacher, or maybe when you take them in the room and you read them a Bible story. What are you doing? It may be starting just a little trickle of a river that begins to flow. And my brother and my sister, because I had a trickle that started when I was 7, I wanted to move further. I wanted to move more. And when I was 16 years old, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ because the water had become a rushing river in my life. And I said, I want to go deeper and I want to go further. And don't ever underestimate. I don't care how stagnant you feel. Keep coming to church. Sit under the preached Word of God. It is the washing of the water of the Word. No matter how cold you feel, God can wash you. He can clean you. He can purify your mind. And that little trickle can come into a pond. And the pond can turn into a lake. And the lake can turn into a river. And the river can turn into an ocean. I thank God for my being raised in a godly home with parents who believed in God and who believed in the power of the gospel. Oh, you don't realize the effect of the Word of God, even though it looks like there's no effect happening to that individual. Yet God is moving in ways that can't be seen or discerned. God is moving in that individual's life. They're starting out as just a small little stream. It gets bigger and bigger. And then he says, and when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. This is a portrait of when you first come to the Lord. You step in ankle deep water. It's a great thing. It's a good thing to be in water to the ankles. It's a good thing. And Ezekiel says he stepped into the water. It's that moment when we first step into Jordan, when we first stepped across the river. You know, but what's sad is that most people stay in ankle deep water. The problem with ankle deep water is that once you step in, you can step right back out. And you can step right back in. And you can step right back out. And this is what happened. The prophet says at Kadesh Barnea, they went into the Jordan, to the banks of the Jordan. But in their heart, they still wanted to go back to Egypt. And do you realize, my brother, this is what we spoke of this morning. The most dangerous spot you can be at is in that second realm, failing to go to the third. The most dangerous spot you can be at as a believer is to never come beyond ankle deep water. This is more treacherous than not being in the water at all. But people come to church on Sunday and they put their feet in ankle deep water. And then they go right back out, right back to Egypt. And then they come Wednesday night and they put their feet right back in the water.
and they go right back into Egypt. Then they come Sunday morning and they wade just out to ankle deep water, never going into that third realm, never going beyond the ankle deep water, never going beyond. And Brother Branham said, what happens? Spiritual amnesia sets in. You halt between two opinions. You don't know what you believe. You know, it's an amazing thing about checks and balances in people's lives. And God will have certain checks and balances. He'll put certain balances in people and gifts of other people to keep you in check and to keep your life in check. But notice what's so dangerous. You may have a grandmother, and if you really decide, if you really pulled back all of the layers of why a person believes what they believe, of why a person comes to church on a Sunday morning, sadly, some people only come because of a grandmother or a grandpa, or maybe they believe what they believe because their dad believes it and their mom believes it, and that's the check or the balance in their life. And you watch what happens the second that that grandmother or that grandfather, who was their anchor that kept them in the message, leaves the scene. Suddenly, they don't know what they believe. They don't know where they came from. They don't know where to stand, because now the balance has been removed, and the balance is what was holding them. Oh, my brother, let me repeat the words of Brother Branham. In this hour, you need an absolute, and that absolute cannot be a message. It cannot be a messenger or a person. It's got to be Jesus Christ. It's got to be the unfallible. It's got to be the unsearchable riches of Christ that anchors the soul. This is our absolute, the Word of God. Don't let your absolute be a failing, falling human being. You may love your dad and he's got a wonderful testimony. You may love your pastor and he's got a wonderful testimony. But what if your pastor walks away? What if your dad walks away? What if your aunt walks away? What if that grandfather passes off the scene? Then where will you stand? If all you've ever came to is ankle deep water. Are you here tonight? I wonder sometimes if this is exactly what people are like. That they never, the preaching of the Word of God never goes beyond the ankles. You know, it reminds me sort of after you've shot a gun. You know, after you've shot a gun and you weren't wearing ear protection, you know, all you hear is that loud whoo, that loud ring. Did I make a good imitation of that? You hear that loud noise. And then the explosion goes off and you're sort of looking around. And you look at someone and someone's saying, and you're going, what did they say? I can't really hear. Then it becomes, and it's getting clear. And you shot the gun, you needed to wear ear protection, and you shot that, and then it suddenly gets clear and clear and clear. But I wonder sometimes if all the preaching of the Word of God to some people is just, and you see a preacher waving his hands and screaming, but you're just in a fog. You're just numb. You're numb. It's just another Sunday. It's just another service. It's just another person. And you're just here yelling and screaming. And you leave and you sort of just leave thinking, you know, what really just happened? And there's no effect. And there's no result. And there's no focus on the Word of God or what's being preached. Brother, you're in a dangerous spot. I only got one message for you. Run to Jesus Christ. Run to the healer. Run to the life giver. Go beyond ankle deep water. Move deeper into the ocean. Is that all right tonight? He says, and again he measured 1,000 and he brought me through the water. The waters was to the knees. Oh, I don't think it's an accident. The knees, the way that we commune and pray with God. He moves into the water to the knees. This refers to the believer who's went beyond ankle deep water. And he started to establish a relationship with the Lord. And he starts communing in his prayer life to the Lord. It's a picture of the believer, his first steps into communing with his Heavenly Father. He steps cautiously beyond ankle deep water and he comes into knee deep water. You know, but let me say this, even in knee deep water,
You maybe start to feel the effects of the river, but you've not surrendered yet to the river. You've not surrendered yet to the river, even in knee-deep water. You've not left your comfort zone yet. You can still be comfortable with who you are. You haven't really moved out of the boat yet. You're still in your comfort zone and what you're comfortable with. You begin to feel the effects of the river, and you've waded into knee-deep water. But let me say this. You need to go beyond knee-deep water. You need to go deeper. And Ezekiel says he comes, and that knee-deep water led him, and he says, and again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the loins. The loin in the Bible speaks of strength and power. And those who've waded out into the loins have developed a strong relationship with the Lord. You know, you can spot someone who has a strong relationship with the Lord. You can also spot someone who doesn't have a strong relationship with the Lord. But you can spot that person. Because now in knee deep, in loin deep and waist deep water, their lives are beginning to be controlled by the current and by the river. Their lives are beginning to be controlled by the Spirit and the power and the direction of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit begins to have control of their life. And you know, let me say this, my brother, strong currents can move those believers a few feet at a time. If you've ever waded out in the ocean and you get up beyond the knees and you come to the waist, you know, as a wave comes, you maybe even lift up off of the ground and then your feet come back down and you lose that sense of control for a second and you put your toes and you sink them deep down into the sand because you don't want to lose control. But my brother, it's the Spirit of God trying to get you to come out just a little bit further. I don't want you to be earthbound. I want to get you to the place to where you have no control and no direction and no will anymore, but you've surrendered to the power of the river. God is beginning to take control, and your feet are starting to come off of the ground. He's starting to take you into deeper water. But brother, you still haven't made it deep enough. You know, because even in waist deep water, you could still, if you want, swim strong enough and get back out of the water again. You can still turn around and get out of the water again, which is what many people are doing today after staying in just waist deep water. They get out of the water. They get out of the current. They get out of the control of the river. The river's power scares them. And they get out of the water. They wade back to knee deep. They go back to ankle deep. And for some, sadly, they've completely stepped out of the river totally in their lives. But God says, Ezekiel says, but afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim, a river that could not be passed over here. Ezekiel says, the waters go over my head. He has reached a place in the river that it's impossible to stand on the earth anymore. He's reached a place in the river where he can't walk and wade through the river. Now the river has taken control of Ezekiel's direction. It has taken control. And my brother, this is the place we ought to desire to get into the Holy Spirit with. To say, Lord, let me get to the depth of your word and the depth of your spirit and the depth of the river to where I have no control. I have surrendered my will to the will of the river. Jesus said, I do nothing but that which the Father showeth me. What was it? Whatever the river, wherever the river takes them is where the believer goes. They have surrendered to the direction and the destiny of the river. Why? Because they believe that the waters originate from the throne of God, and the destiny of the river is not taking them off some cliff to destroy them, but the destiny of the river is a rapture and a body change and life eternal and glory unspeakable and joy that never ends. You lose dependence. You're out of control.
This is the picture that Ezekiel paints of the believer who the water has saturated them from head to toe. The Holy Spirit can so saturate you from head to toe to where you think about God. You dwell on the thoughts of God. You dwell constantly. You pray without ceasing. It covers you from the head. Oh, how many want to say, Lord, that's my desire here tonight, to be covered in the water of the river from head to toe, to where it's constantly what I think upon. As David said, thy law I do meditate upon day and night. Oh, brother, when the Word of God becomes saturated in your soul, you have no time for Laodicea. You have no time to think about the cares of this life, because you're consumed with the river and the power of God. Oh, brother, you can get to that place. You may be not there tonight, but you can come deeper in the water, and the water can so saturate your life to where you become a mystic to the rest of the world. You become an oddball to the rest of the world. When something consumes you, when something consumes your mind, you know, I know, and I may have said this before, but I'm learning. I've been for the past 8 months learning Spanish. You know what happens? The first few days I begin to learn and use the approach that I was using. It became just a daily thing, you know, something that I wanted to do. And then, you know, after the first day and the second day and the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day and the sixth day and the seventh day, the eighth day. By about the 15th day, it was everything I was thinking about. It was consuming me. Where I constantly was thinking about learning this language, constantly studying, constantly finding myself in everything I did. I started to change my phone language to Spanish because it was consuming me. Everything became, why? Because something consumed my mind. And after 30 days, it became a regimen and a routine, something I didn't even have to think of. I got in my vehicle. I immediately went into my lesson and I was dedicated. I didn't have to force myself. I didn't have to push myself. I didn't have to pull myself or coerce myself. Why? Because I had became saturated with the desire. And brother, when you can saturate yourself in the Word of God, in so much it's not a drudgery to open your Bible. You don't have to force yourself to come to church. You don't have to force yourself to pray or coerce yourself to get in the right atmosphere. It becomes, the prophet said it this way, it becomes an automatic life. How many want to say, Lord, grant that to me? Let it be an automatic life, Lord. David said, you are my portion. You're everything I desire. You're everything I long for. Prophet of God says, oh. He says, I can never stop, ladies. Notice what the prophet says, I can never stop. I can never stop ladies from wearing vulgar clothes. It's the nature in them. They already seen it. The devil presented it. They were subject to it. I could never stop men from drinking. Certainly not. I could never make the church spiritual. All the preaching I would do, it would never make a church spiritual. But there will be one now, and then that's a fish. God wants him in the kingdom. I'll give my voice. I don't know who it is, but I'll preach it. And as I preach it, he'll hear it. For all the Father hath given me will come to me. That's right. That's why I'm here. I'm combing again. What was Brother Branham saying? There were certain things that are unstoppable. It is unstoppable in the nature of a person to be a brute beast. That's all you are without the Holy Spirit. There's an unstoppable, unquenchable lust for the things of the world. The prophet said it this way, a teenager without the Holy Ghost will be attacked viciously. He will be attacked in his mind constantly by the spirit of rock and roll. It's unstoppable without the Spirit of Christ. But brother, once you get the Spirit of Christ down inside the soul, that's the power to stop the devil. You say, how do I stop the devil in my life? Get the unstoppable power of Jesus Christ to come inside your very soul, and it stops the devil in his tracks. It's a token that you can hold up and say, hold on right there, devil. I am a sanctified, born again son or daughter of God, and you can't come any further in my life. Prophet says, oh, all the Father has given me will come to me. But you know,
There's something about it here that when God goes to speaking to a heart, there's nothing can stop it. When God goes speaking to a heart, there's nothing can stop it from finding out what's calling when God goes to calling. And your mom might have prayed for you, and your dad might have prayed for you, and your brothers and your friends were pulling on your heart, and you turned around and went the other way. But my brother and my sister, when God decides to go after you in your life, there's nothing that can stop it. No devil in hell can stop the power of the unstoppable promise of God. No devil in hell can prevent the plan of God. And will you say, Brother Matt, where's my promise in this that Jesus said, all that the Father has given me will come to me, and I won't lose one. Praise God. We won't be able to get to all of these, so we'll just stop. He says, the big churches made fun. I love this. The big churches, he said, made fun, pointed their fingers. They said we were holy rollers. When I built, I laid the cornerstone. They said they'll turn that little old thing into a garage. It's been 20 years ago, and the Holy Ghost still lives here. Hallelujah, he says, that's right. And what they said was fanaticism and everything. Kings and monarchs across the world has called. Great men has been healed. The powers of God has swept the world around to now we stand millions strong. Hallelujah. And one of these mornings, she's went through the critics. They said it would burn out. They said to me down here, oh, Billy, oh, you lost your mind. That's all there is to it. Even my own mother-in-law said it. Why? The boy's gone crazy. But if I am, I've had a wonderful time. Let me tell you something, brother. He says, listen to this. And I say this with respect. Hallelujah. All hell can't stop it. It's ordained of Jesus Christ to be so. And it will. For upon this rock I'll build my church. The prophet says, they said they'd turn it into a garage. He said, it's been 20 years. And let me give you a reminder. It's been more than 20 years. And it's still here today. And all hell can't stop it. You say, Brother Matt, what's going to happen with all the critics of the message? You know, they would have thought by now our churches would have closed up and everybody would have went and there'd been no power in the message anymore. But all hell can't stop it. We're still here. And it's not because of us. It's because of an unstoppable promise from Almighty God. Let me say, Donald Trump can't stop it. ISIS can't stop it. The White House can't stop it. It's an unstoppable promise. All hell can't stop it. It's ordained of Jesus Christ to be so. For upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What kind of a church? Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed it. Spiritual revelation by the Holy Ghost of the Word of God. On this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. And then he says, she's moving on. You say, Brother Matt, what does the rest of the year hold? What does 2018 hold? The church will still be moving on. The unbelievers will be unbelievers. The make-believers will continue to make-believe. But the believer will still believe the Word of God. For all the Father has given me will come. It's a promise that Jesus made Himself. And let me say it like the prophet said it. All hell can't stop it. That means you can't stop it. I can't stop it. It's unstoppable. I'll still be a believer tomorrow. What will you be doing in 2018, Brother Matt? I don't know what I'll be doing, but I know I'll still be serving the Lord. Because I didn't put this desire in my heart. And I can't take the desire out of my heart. I didn't believe because I read some story or read some testimony and I looked it up and looked it over here, then searched it and researched and went, aha, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think I'll serve it. I think I'll follow it. I think I'll obey it. No, but there was something, like we sang the song, there was a pull that began to call, a magnet that began to reach out and cry out for more of God. I said, Lord, I want to go deeper than the ankle. I want to go deeper than the knees. I want to go into an unstoppable river, an unstoppable current. unstoppable progress of the river of Almighty God. Brother Branham relays this story, and I didn't have time to put it on the screen. He says, I remember the Lord, when the Lord has told me things about certain things was going to happen. And then I move up and see it laying right there. Oh, what a feeling. The situation, oh, I love these words. The situation is already under control. That's all. That's all. Because God said so. I remember many of you about the little boy being raised up in Finland and then from the dead been killed by an automobile. I stood there on the side of the road and started to walk away from that child. I turned and looked back and something put its hand on my shoulder, thought it was Brother Moore. Nobody was around me. I looked back and then I looked up at the mountain. And he said, and I saw, and the mountain begins to become familiar to him. And he says, well, where have I seen that before? I've seen the silhouette of this mountain. And the prophet says, I begin to say, where? I've seen that hill. But we didn't come up this way. We came the other. Where is that hill? And the prophet says, I looked and seen that car down there, wrecked. Seen that little boy laying, the little croc-like haircut, as we'd call it, the eyes turned back, like Brother Waze was the other day when he fell. And the little foot run through the sock where his little limbs was broke. Blood out of his eyes and nose and ears, and seen his little short trousers tied up by buttons. He is here along the side of his little waist and his little stockings up like long stockings like we had wore many years ago. And I looked around and there it was exactly. Exactly the way the Holy Spirit had told me 2 years before when all of you wrote it in your Bibles across the nation that it would happen. Oh, there then the situation, the prophet says, is in hand. No matter how dead that boy was, no matter what anybody else could say, it's all over already. He's got to come back. I said, if this child doesn't raise up, I'm a false prophet. I'm a misrepresentation for God. Because in the homeland, 2 years ago, he told me this would happen. And there's these ministers, wrote it in the flyleaf of their Bible, read it off the flyleaf. How many would be in the country, lapping rocks and so forth, be killed, be on the right-hand side of the road? I said, there it is, and nothing can stop it. The situation is already under control, but hold on. There's blood coming out of his mouth. He's dead, Brother Branham. His eyes are rolled back. The prophet said, nothing can stop it. It's already settled. It's already over. It's unstoppable because God spoke it, and that's all that mattered. You say, where does your faith rest? My faith says it's already settled. I don't care what problem you face today, brother or sister. God has an unstoppable purpose and an unstoppable plan. And in God's mind, it's already settled. All you gotta do
is have faith to believe it and accept it. Brother Branham said that anointed. My faith, the faith of my heart was so anointed. Oh, if I could only explain that. The faith that God, I had in God that told me, and it's never failed, told me the situation is under control now. Here exactly what I showed you 2 years ago. Here it is laying exactly in order. The only thing you have to do is speak the word. Oh, and he says, and the little boy rose up from the dead. I was thinking and looking back at Brother Fred Sothman sitting there. Brother Banks Wood the other day, the Alaskan Highway. How I stood at the church and told you of an animal that looked like deer horns, 42 inches, and a silver-tipped grizzly. I had never been there before. And how I was going to get this and how it would be and how many would be with me and how they'd be dressed. You know it, every one of you. Weeks and weeks before it happened. And then when I moved in there, not knowing it, there lay the animal. And I went, was an impossibility. If a hunter would know or be listening to this tape, how you can't walk up in the face of an animal, he'd jump and run, but he didn't. And there he hangs in my den room. There hangs that silver tip, just exactly the way in a ruler laying over top of those antlers, a tape measure to show how exact. And a horn will at least shrink 2 inches or more when it's green on the animal and when it dries, but this never shrank. Why? Because God spoke. And it was unstoppable. And it didn't matter what happened. In God's mind, it was already finished. Amen. And he says, it's still exactly 42 inches. See, there lays the silver tip. It's 7 feet long. Exactly everything the way it was laying there now. But when this man said to me, now look, Brother Branham, we got this animal that you talked about.
But you told me you'd get a silver-tipped grizzly before you got to the bottom of the hill back over to where them boys are that was at a that with a green shirt. I said, it's thus saith the Lord. God said, Sue, but Brother Branham, he said, I can see all over everything here for miles. There's nothing. Where's he going to come from? I said, that's not for me to question. God said so. And he is Jehovah Jireh. He can bring a bear there. He could put one there. And he did. And there it is. It's the situation under control. Prophet of God goes on, and forgive me for this lengthy reading here. And when Moses saw that he was raised up for this purpose, he had met face to face the great God who had made the call and had anointed him and identified him and said, this is your call, Moses. I'm sending you and I'm going to show you my glory. And here I am in the bush burning. Go down there. I'll be with you. He didn't even need a stick. He had the word, the vindicated word. And there he went. It anointed the faith that was inside of him. And it anoints us when we see that we're living in the last days, to find all these signs that's taken place that spoke of in the Scripture would take place in the last day, all the way from heaven to the political powers, the nature of people, the demoralization of the world and among the women, how they would do it in the last days, how men would do it, how the churches would do it, how the nations would do it, how God would do it. And we see it all laying right here on us. And he says, what does it do? It anoints our faith. It moves us out in the great cycles. Oh, I say, Lord, let your word anoint my faith again. Oh, how many want to say, Lord, give me a fresh anointing upon my faith that I already have. I am a believer. I stand here today as a believer. But I need you to re-anoint my faith again, Lord, to move out into the deep waters. He says, I don't care how much of a minority we are, how much we're laughed at, made fun of. Don't make a bit of difference. That's all. We see it. There's something within us. We're predestinated to see this hour. And there's nothing going to stop us from seeing it. God has spoken. It's already happened. And we thank God for it. How many want to thank God for it? How many want to say, Lord, thank you that nothing can stop your plan? Oh, stand to your feet and say, Lord, thank you that nothing can stop your plan. Anoint my faith to believe that. Anoint the faith that's already inside of me. Musicians, if you would come, anoint my heart and my faith to believe nothing can stop it. All hell can't stop the promise of God. It's an unstoppable promise. Bow your head with me. You could just play something for me, whatever you choose, brother. We thank you, Lord. God, how could we begin to say thank you? How you've anointed our faith already. It's already settled. Lord, how many things in life that we worry, we fret over. We ponder and we worry and we stress. Lord, but if we were to poll heaven, heaven would say it's already settled. It's already over. It's already finished. The situation's under control. We thank you, Lord, for that tonight, Lord. But give us the faith to accept it. Give us the faith to believe it, Lord. Give us the faith to move out in it, to move out into deeper waters, to move out into deeper cycles, as the prophet calls it, greater cycles. Help us to move out beyond this realm of fear, beyond this realm of sight and what we hear and what we feel. Let us move into that third chamber. Let us move into that third realm. Let us move into that place where new life begins. Lord, if our waters became stagnant tonight, may you move it and stir it once again, Lord. If we've stepped out of that water, may we step back in. If we waded only out to ankle deep, Lord, or knee deep, or waist deep, God, but there's a beckoning maybe upon one individual here, and the Spirit of God is saying, come out deeper, child. Come out further. Wait on just a little bit farther. Lord, may we respond here tonight to your pull, Lord Jesus. May we respond in faith. May we move out into deep waters, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Can we sing that song again, brother? I feel the pull, I hear the call. Oh, you love the Lord Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Ben, if you can sing it. Oh, let's sing it now. My mind and my mind just fails to move exactly. I can't explain.
Oh.
give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. I really enjoyed the service. Amen. I think it was Brother Wayne put it perfectly at the end of the service this morning when he said he wishes every day was Sunday. Amen. I really enjoyed the whole day. Amen. And I want to make sure that I'm not just stepping in ankle deep and stepping out. Amen. We just come to church on Sunday, go back to work, go back through the cycle of life, come back Wednesday, get a blessing, go back. Amen. That I want to get in. Amen. That it's over my head. Amen. And that it's just automatic, that it's our life. Amen. I really enjoy that. I'm going to ask Brother Andy if he'll close the service in a word of prayer. Amen.
Hearts, we can say that truly it was good to be in your house this today, Father. Lord, you've come down and you've spoken to us, Father. Lord, we just want to be saturated by your presence, by your spirit, by your word, by your thinking, Father. Lord, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, but every day, Father, that we can reflect your image to this dying world, Father, to let them know you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, go with us as we leave this place, Father. May you be with us through the week. May you be with Brother Matt, Father. Anoint him, strengthen him, Father. Give him traveling mercies. And Lord, all those that are traveling, may you bring them back safely. And Father, may you go with each and every one of us, every father, every mother, every husband, every wife, every brother, every sister. Lord, just press upon our hearts to press into that kingdom even harder, Father. Grant it, Lord. Until we meet again, we ask for your blessing. We ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're welcome to go as you're ready. Like my